Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Noble and Roosh Show, brought to you by Ball is Life and Dash Radio.
Welcome back to another episode of the Noble and Roosh Show, hosted by Ball is Life, newly minted as the number one most downloaded podcast on the Ball is Life network. I'm your host, Roosh Williams, with my co-host, Zach Noble. And today, I believe, all the way from the great state of Indiana, we have none other than Mr. Nikola Vucevic from the Chicago Bulls. Nikola, how are you doing, man?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing awesome. Right. Happy to have you, man.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. Did you guys just kind of get settled in?
Yeah, we just got to Indy about like 10, 15 minutes ago. Just got to the hotel, so getting settled here.
There we go. A punctual man, dude. As soon as he gets to the hotel, hops on the podcast before he goes off and has himself a night. So, yeah, man, we're happy to have you. Just wanted to kind of talk. You've been having an awesome season. The Bulls have been having an awesome season, probably their best season in a long time. So we got a lot to talk about. Zach, please take it away. Kick us off.
So, Vooch, I want to dive right in to going back to when you were first traded to the Chicago Bulls, what was that process like for you? I mean, you were the centerpiece in Orlando there for 9 years or so, and that was home to you. I mean, that was everything, and I'm sure that decision was very hard for the franchise and you. Tell us what that was like mentally, emotionally, and I mean, what the communication was like with the front office and you with that transaction.
Yeah, it was definitely, you know, emotional and a big change for me after 9 years, and especially of what I was able to do while I was there. And, you know, I've met a lot of great people throughout my time in Orlando, within the organization, outside. My two sons were born. You know, I just really had, you know, a very established life. And also in my career, that's where I kind of became the player that I am. So it was a lot that attached me to that city and still does to this day. Still a city I consider home. So it was difficult. It took some time, I think, for me to kind of digest all that, to manage all the, you know, the change, and to manage, you know, going to a new city, new team, everything. It's just, you know, it's not easy when you go through change, especially after such a long time within one organization, one city. But it was just, I think it was to a point where, you know, it was time for a change for both myself and the franchise and the Magic. You know, we just felt like, you know, we reached a point where it wasn't really going to be the way we maybe thought it would be. And I was getting in years where I really, you know, was in must win now mode. And you know, they had some young players that they felt like they could develop and had, you know, didn't have to be as aggressive. So it was just, that was kind of the communication, and it kind of just turned out, you know, to where, you know, we were able to find a good place for me. And you know, it was a lot. It was, you know, it wasn't out of nowhere. You know, a lot of communication came from me, even where you know, I was asked certain questions, and you know, and so they were able to make that trade with the Bulls, and obviously, it was tough in the moment when it happened. You know, although I had an idea that it could happen, it was still tough. And when you get the call, it's hard. And it's, for me, I mean, I really had special attachment to the city. Had a special bond with the fans there, the people there. I mean, obviously, just not just because of the years, but I think there was something that I found I really fit there, you know, the way I am. And I think people really accepted me there. And I mean, I got there as a 22-year-old, left there as a 30-year-old man. So all that, when you take it into account, it's not easy to just go through that change and just leave. And I always felt, maybe before, you know, people get traded and stuff like that, you know, and you hear them, you know, say different things, you're just like, well, it's not that hard. I mean, it's just part of the job. And when it happens to you, then you realize, all right, it's a little different. It's not just, you know, you go to a different city. I mean, maybe if it was just a year or two, maybe it'd be different, but you know, when they're for that long and you establish yourself and, you know, you have a good career there and, you know, you do certain things, you just, you know, I mean, it's just human nature. So it was tough, but, you know, I think that, you know, as time is going on, I'm able to not adjust to being in Chicago, and obviously we've been doing great here. So that helps as well.
No, I appreciate you going. Kind
of a coming of age thing for you, right? Like you said, you landed there 22, left as a grown man, 30 years old, both of your sons there. You became an all-star there. So a lot of developments happened. So the attachment, you know, I understand that. We all switched jobs too. It had to be weird clearing out the locker, right? And kind of looking at these guys that you went to battle with for years and basically saying.
Yeah, I actually didn't even get to do that because I got the call like early in the morning and I was with my son. And then I remember what something we were doing with him. And then I was, and I get the call and then my wife comes and she sees my face. And she's like, oh, you got traded. And I'm like, yep. She's like, where were we going? I'm like, Chicago. It was a shock for us because then I was told I got to be in and I had a flight to catch to Chicago at 3 p.m. that day. So I had like a couple hours to pack, you know, kind of set up what I can and just go. So I didn't even like, they just shipped me my stuff from Orlando. So I never actually got a chance to go there and clear out my locker and, you know, say bye to all of my teammates and stuff, which was kind of just had to go. So it all happened so quick. I think that also made it a little more, you know, difficult because I never had the time to kind of like go and like talk to everybody and kind of take it all in. It's just kind of up you out. I think what helped me also kind of get over it also is once I went back to Orlando when we played the Magic, and then I went there, I saw everybody, I got a chance to talk to everybody. I went there as, you know, opponent, and kind of helped me move on, be like, okay, like that chapter is closed, now I can move on to the new chapter in my career and just, you know, move forward.
That's awesome.
So it's like you didn't even get a chance to. Closure is important, man. Saying goodbye is, I think, is important.
Yeah. Never. And then also, you know, it was COVID and everything was, you know, but it's still COVID. That last year was like really, really strict. So there was so many rules just like to be able to do all that. So it was all very limited and it kind of happened so quick. So I think that this year made it a little easier once I was able to go back there and take it all in and kind of able to move on.
What I was going to say is, the good news is, well, I mean, on one hand, you went from the beach to, you know, cold and snow. But the good news is that Chicago's a badass city. And now, you know, a lot of people get, you mentioned win now. You're in win now mode. Yeah. You're 31 years old. I mean, I'm 32 years old. My body breaks down by the day. So I could only imagine a man of your size. You want to win right now. And you get traded into a situation, luckily, where you're in a position to win now, right? I mean, last season when you got traded, things didn't click right away. But then in the offseason Chicago made, I think they had the best offseason in the NBA. And we're seeing the dividends that are being paid now. So I was going to ask, you know, how does it feel? Or do you feel fortunate at all? Or did you even have some say in the process? Were they kind of giving you some teams and you had some say with respect to the fact that you didn't get dumped right in, like, I don't know, purgatory at some team that hasn't been good for years? Like, you got put in a situation where you actually can win.
But that was kind of the deal that if that does happen, if I do get moved, it's to a situation that works for both, to where if I go to a team that, you know, is win now mode and they get what they need, it wasn't just, you know, going to be a no matter what. So it was kind of really going to be only in a specific situation where it worked for both, which it did. So in the end, it all worked out really well.
Obviously, Chicago wasn't necessarily a winning team before you got there. So what was it about Zach LaVine or the franchise in general that thought you could turn this thing around and make it what it is today? Like, what was it so attractive about that destination for you?
Well, I think, you know, obviously the fact that, you know, Zach was there, you know, he was a first time all-star and then obviously a great player. And I think that, you know, pairing the two of us would, you know, give us, you know, a good kind of base to build the team around. And then also the head of some very good young pieces, and the front office was really, you know, want to be really aggressive to build something now, you know, not wait. And I think that the trade, when they made the trade, I think that it kind of sent a message throughout the league saying like, hey, Chicago is serious about winning now. You know, we want to do this now. We don't want to wait. And, you know, then it attracted other, you know, players, you know, like Lonzo, DeMar, AC, and, you know, all the other guys that came over the summer because they saw that there was, you know, something that was being built here. You know, the team had two all-stars. They had some good young pieces as well, good coaching staff. You know, Billy's a great coach. And so I think that, you know, when you send a message like that, it's going to attract other players as well to be willing to come. You know, it has to start somewhere. And, you know, they're able to, you know, so to speak, take a risk. And, you know, it all worked out in the end.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how the NBA works, right? You have a piece like Zach LaVine, all of a sudden, boom, Bulls go all in, trade some assets to get you. And now you got a big two. And then the other chips fall. As they do, right? And so Alex Caruso has been an incredible role player. Lonzo's had an incredible season. DeMar DeRozan's been balling. I mean, DeMar DeRozan's turned the clock back. I really honestly thought his decline was kind of kicking in and we were starting to see it. I was dead ass wrong. He is balling out.
I was right.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. It's amazing to see. I was at, I watched y'all play. I'm from Houston, so I watched y'all play the Rockets. And I got to see that game in person. But so I wanted to ask, what is it like for you? What has it been like for you fitting with Zach and DeMar and kind of getting that going? Because you guys have the fourth best offense in the league so far.
It's been fun. I mean, you know, when you play like, you know, with all the players we have, especially two guys like DeMar and Zach, who are just deadly scorers, it makes the game so much easier for everyone. And I mean, they require so much attention for the defense that it opens up a lot. But I think what also helps them is that they have now a lot of talent around them as well. And, you know, teams can't just solely focus on them because you have so many options around that you know, you have to focus on everybody. But also, I think the main thing the reason why it's been working is that we all, you know, committed to winning and playing basketball the right way and do whatever we need to win. Very unselfish group. You know, we really enjoy playing with alongside each other. And it's been a fun year. So I think, I mean, it's been great to see those two guys playing the way they've been playing. I mean, they both had, you know, great games, you know, games where they've taken over, where they just dominated the game and things like that. And towards the end of the game as well. And I mean, that we just have a group that's been able to mesh really well. And I think that obviously there's a lot of room for us to grow as well still. But I think that we're heading on the right path, and we have also, I think the fact that people did doubt us early on and weren't sure if it was going to work, was the mark going to fit, is this or that, you know, all these question marks that people had, I think that also kind of gave us extra motivation, you know, to prove people wrong.
That's the thing. And you hit it with the word unselfish, and that's what the word that comes to my mind when I think of you Bulls. Everybody before the year, I was in the minority of really believing in DeMar because I just thought he was a great playmaker, and that's where he improved the most in San Antonio as a playmaker and pass first guy there, which really flew under the radar because they were a sub 500 team there for a little bit. But with that said, I mean, you just brought like talented, intelligent individuals. Like you guys, I think, are the most intelligent team in the league, just cerebrally from a basketball IQ standpoint. And then you put unselfish on top of that. That's why it works and clicks so quickly, in my estimation. Yeah, you got more upside to go because you guys are just starting to play together, but it's crazy to me how quickly you guys gelled as a team. Like literally when I look at teams that play well together right now and play as a cohesive unit, I look at you guys, the Jazz and the Suns, and those other two teams have been together forever. You guys just came together and you just gelled so quickly. Why is that, you think, besides being unselfish? And did you think DeMar had this in him like before he got to Chicago? Like, because you've been playing against him in the East forever. You knew him as the Toronto Raptors go-to scorer for all these years. What made you think DeMar could fit with you and be this guy to go along with Lonzo's dominant play nature? And then Zach LaVine dominates the ball quite often as well from a usage standpoint.
Well, just, I mean, to go back to your point, we just have a lot of high IQ players. And when you have, you know, guys that do understand the game, that know what it takes to win, that know how to play the game the right way, you're going to figure it out and make it work. I mean, you look at, you know, even, for example, you look at Brooklyn, who had, you know, KD, Kyrie, and Harden, who all three, when they were playing, they all needed, you know, the ball, and they are ball dominant. But when you put them all three together on the floor, they just figure it out. And that was just our thought process as well. I think, you know, with bringing, you know, DeMar, you know, we felt like we were just going to be able to figure out there's enough offensive opportunities for everybody to be able to be effective and play their game and do what needs to be done. And also we figured out we can make it easier on each other. And I think that's what's been happening. We're, you know, we all know how to play the game the right way. We all willing to, you know, sacrifice a little bit to make it work. And we have been doing that. And also, I mean, the way the NBA has been, you know, going lately, you know, offensive numbers have, you know, really gone high, and game is played at a faster pace. There's so many offensive possessions. Everybody's going to have an opportunity to play and do and score and, you know, take shots that they need to take. And so I just think, you know, we're all really just came in and we're committed. I think that also, you know, the message from Billy, you know, was also, you know, that we certain things we need to sacrifice. We need to figure out how to play. He also put a good system where it gives an opportunity for everyone to be involved at all times in our offense. And we've just been effective, and we're just committed to it. We've been doing it. It hasn't always, you know, it's not always pretty. It doesn't always work the way we want it to, but for the most part, it has. And I think that we just, our commitment to it, you know, is very strong, and we want to do it. We want to get it done. And it's really simple when you have guys that are not selfish, that care to win. You're just going to be able to figure it out. And that's what we've been able to do. And I think it's a little more difficult if you do have, you know, guys that, you know, are looking for numbers or not, you know, willing to do the things that need to be done. It can take a little longer, but I think that also we are all at a point in our careers where we, you know, we don't necessarily, you know, have to, I mean, you always have to prove yourself, you know, like prove yourself as a new young player in the NBA where you have to, and like, show what you can do. I think we all passed that young part of our career where now we're just all in, like, we just want to win whatever it takes. And so I think that's also happened. Even, you know, guys like, you know, AC, he came from Lakers, he won a championship. You know, people know who he is and what he does as a player. You know, say Lonzo, I think he's excited to be here because he's finally in a spot where he feels like he's wanted and, you know, he's valued properly. And so I think that gave him also kind of a refreshing. And then, like, you know, DeMar, he's obviously won and done everything he needed to do and all-star and everything. So he just wants to win now again. And you know, Zach, you know, he hasn't, you know, been to the playoffs or won yet, so he wants to do it. And you know, so same for me. So I think he just, all the right kind of pieces fell at the right time. It was good timing and it all worked out.
Support for Noble and Roosh is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, the 4.0. And remember, treat your body like a Garrett Temple and be Marcus Smart about how you choose to groom your LaMelo balls to get rid of all that excess Joe Harris. You don't want to be the Jokic of the locker room, so be a James Wiseman and don't trust your Mason Plumleys with anything other than Manscaped to get the job done. Whether you get rid of it all or just take a little off the Obi Toppin, the results will have your Lonzos feeling the Kevin Love and you feeling as fresh as a Derrick Rose. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer, 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code GNR at manscaped.com.
Yeah, I mean, I think you both are correct, right? A ton of high IQ players, a ton of talent, a very scary big three with you, Zach, and DeMar. And then the role players are out of this world, right? Like we talked about, Lonzo's having a great season. Caruso is really, I think he's making Lakers fans and the Lakers front office regret not working out the right deal with him.
Trying every day.
And then you're getting contributions across the board, right? Caruso's out, boom. Kobe White steps up and balls out 17-12 against the Hawks. You know, Adosunmu, who I brought up earlier, rookie, you know, he was someone that we obviously had on the show, so he was on our radar, but he kind of fell later in the first round. And he's been, I think he's been very good for you guys, contributing off the bench when his number is called to do so. So it's a multifaceted attack. There's not one way to stop it. It's not like, yo, you got two guys, you stop one of those guys, you'll probably win. You guys can get them from all angles. You're a passing big, so you can run offense even through you. You can run offense through other players. You guys have shooters that can make shots. Like, there's a good team. So with that said, you're second in the East. If I'm not mistaken, you are one game behind Brooklyn. but you're a legitimate contender. I mean, it's you guys, Brooklyn and Milwaukee, as far as I'm concerned right now, out of the East. So kind of feeding into everything else that we talked about, how does this feel, you know, to see it coming to fruition? We're more than a third of the way through the season and you're the number two team in the East. You know, I don't think you're used to this, at least at the NBA level. Orlando, I think the best you guys finished during your time there was six or seven. So what does it feel like to be the number two team in the East and to be with the squad? Like you said, everyone's hungry. You know, you got the only guy that's 1-1 is Caruso. But, you know, DeMar is hungry on a mission to prove people wrong. As we can see, Zach is hungry just to get a taste of the playoffs. You're hungry. Lonzo's hungry. So how does it feel to be a real contender, top two in the East?
It feels great. I mean, you know, when you win consistently, if I can say, like, it's catchy, like you wanted to continue, you never wanted to stop. And, you know, when they say winning takes care of everything, it really does. You know, when you have to build something and work through certain things while you're winning, it's so much easier than if you're doing, like, you know, if we're, you know, at 500 or something and it's not, you know, necessarily going the way we want it to, and you have to work some stuff, you know, then it's a little more difficult. But where, you know, winning, you know, but you're aware that you still have room to improve and stuff that you need to work on. You know, in your mind, you're like, all right, like, we still have ways to go, but we can be like this good. We're this good already. So, you know, like, what can we really become once we really, really figure it out? So, I mean, it's really been really fun. I mean, also, you know, one thing that's been great is, you know, the fans in Chicago, you know, they've been waiting, you know, for this for a while. You know, they had a couple of tough years. And so they're really, really excited. You can feel it in the arena and, you know, everywhere you go in the city. Obviously, there are no huge Bulls fans, and you can really feel it. And even when we play on the road, you know, you have Bulls fans come into games and cheer for us. And there's just this big energy, I think, that, you know, kind of came around the team from the beginning, and now even more since we've been winning. So it's fun. I mean, you enjoy it. You know, obviously, our career, you know, you only get so many opportunities to do this, to play at a high level and to play for something, to play to win. So you want to make sure you take advantage of it. And I think that, you know, we want to continue to have fun and continue to play and win. And I mean, winning is the best. That's what we all do this job.
Absolutely. No, big energy. That's what it is. And you guys are the buzz of the league right now, and it's sure been fun to follow. Absolutely. With that said, it's kind of natural, I'd say. And when you put four guys that dominate the ball together, I mean, it's going to take away from somebody, you know? And so, you're used to the ball being in your hands a lot more early on and have a bigger usage. You're up right on like 28-29% usage the last 5-6 years of your career. And to start the year, you're at around like 19-20. It's going to happen. So your numbers take a little bit of a dive. You don't know the shots you're getting, but it doesn't matter because winning solves all, and it comes around in the end. I don't never worry about good shooters. You've been shooting really high percentages the last few years, and I knew you would figure it out. I mean, the first 11 games, you were like 40-26, but I mean, your counting numbers were still good. And I thought you were playing the best defense of your career. I mean, I really do. The team defense, that's the thing I was worried about. This team is the defensive side of things, but it's been amazing. It's been awesome to see. But these last 11 games, this is the Vooch we know. I mean, from a numbers perspective, and it's not really taken away from anybody else either, which is crazy. It just means the team's getting better and better, but maybe it's because some guys are in and out of the lineup with COVID as well, and you're just doing your part. Why do you think the shot wasn't falling as much as at the beginning, and things just started off a little slow for you?
Well, I think I was trying to figure out kind of my role. How can I, you know, still, you know, be effective and do what I do? Know, within the new system we have, within, you know, playing alongside the new players. You know, when you play for one way, like I did in Orlando for past however many years I was, you know, playing the level I was, it's, you know, and you go into a whole new situation, it takes time. And I think for a big man, it may be a little more too, because you don't necessarily have the ball at all times. You don't necessarily always control the game. Like if you're guarding, you have the ball, you can kind of create your own shots and do that. So I think it just took me a little bit of more time to figure that part out. And I think, you know, I wanted it to happen so quick, and then it wasn't necessarily, and you kind of like, I was trying to just, I think at one point I was just trying a little too much, and I was too caught up into that instead of just kind of letting it all work out and just play my game and find other ways to just, you know, be effective, you know, rebounding, defense, passing, and that everything else was just going to come around. And So I think it was just that was a little bit of that. But I think as the season went on, you know, I started figuring out my spots and started figuring out ways I can be effective, and also understanding that I don't have to do as much anymore as I had to maybe in Orlando, where, you know, I felt like if I didn't have a certain amount of points, you know, it wasn't enough for us. Now I can, you know, score way less than I did maybe in Orlando, but still, you know, play really well and the team is winning. It's just different. I think just a period of adjustment was just some time I need to go through. And also, you know, playing with new players, you know, guys I've never played with before, you know, how I had to learn to play pick and roll with Lonzo, with DeMar. You know, Zach, I played with him last year a little bit as well, but, you know, he had COVID, so it wasn't as much time as we wanted to. AC, you know, all those guys. And so it just took time. And but, you know, never in my mind did I, you know, doubt myself or panic or anything. It's just like I wanted to happen because, you know, it's a new thing. We're, you know, we're playing well, and I want to, you know, be a big part of it as well. And it's just, I think that maybe that overexcitement of it all kind of just, but it's, I think in the last, you know, I think since I came back from COVID, I was able to kind of, you know, take a step back, you know, kind of slow down, regroup, and, you know, and just kind of work my way back to what I know I can do. And so in the last, you know, whatever, having 2 weeks or so, I've been feeling much better. You know, just like the game's also a little slowed down. I got used to the new where we're playing and just, you know, being able to figure it out and, you know, get back to my old self.
Definitely can say that. Stella found her groove. You can say that. I roughed you up the first time you came on and said, I would love to see an Orlando lineup of like Fournier, you, Aaron Gordon, Bamba, Isaac, and just roll really big. And you're laughing at me. And my other partner was laughing at me at the time too. And yeah, that was a joke, because that's the part of the issue in Orlando too. You were legitimately the best passer playmaker there more than half the time, like 70 to 80% of the time. And it goes much different from being the best passer playmaker in the half court to having to be that guy in the full court. Where you got DeMar and Lonzo for that now, and that are guys that are just as good, if not better, passers and playmakers than you. So with that said, I mean, that's got to be quite the adjustment. Can you just say a little more on in regards to that? I mean, from a ball handling perspective, is it quite different in this system, wouldn't you say?
No, it is. I mean, just the way we play in general, like in Orlando, for example, I had, you know, the ball a lot in certain positions that, for example, like post-ups or elbow touches, which in Chicago, still getting a lot of those elbow touches in at top of the key. But the kind of whole way we're playing in Orlando was, you know, around me. So every play almost and everything, you know, I had a big part of it. And I knew I was going to get my, you know, 20 shots a game, regardless of what was going on. And so it was just a different system. And I also had gotten used to it and playing that way, and it was built for me, so to speak. So it's just different to where here, you know, it's a little different. We have so many options, and it's a system where everybody at all times is involved and can get involved, and shots are going to come from different, you know, you're going to get your shots at different times as the game goes on. So I just had to figure that out, make that adjustment to, you know, okay, I can't, like, I have to just figure myself out within this offense now, within this system. And, like, I might not have the ball as much in certain situations as I did in Orlando, so I have to figure out how to be effective, you know, playing this way now. And so that's just an adjustment, you know, like everything in life. You know, you go to a new job, you go to a new place, you start a new relationship, you know, it's a new, you just have to, you know, it takes time to, you know, figure it out and adjust to it and find your ways. And that just, I think that it was a little bit for me, but you know, it was never, you know, too big of a deal for me or anything. And again, we're winning, so I think that also helped me kind of just be like, all right, like, you know, we're
That's
winning.
Whatever.
Well, like, don't overthink this. Just go and play, and things will be fine.
Yeah, I mean, like to Zach's point, right? Over your last 11 games, 19 points a game, 11 and a half boards, almost three dimes, block and a half, shooting like 43% from three. Just balling out. And then over the last three games, you've had 15 or more rebounds in each of those games, and you guys are on a five-game winning streak. So winning definitely cures all. Like we've talked about, some of your scoring is down because you're getting the least amount of field goal attempts that you've gotten, I think, in the last four, maybe 5 years. But that's because you have incredibly talented teammates. So now some of the load's off of you, and it's easier for you, and you guys are winning. And I think that that's the most important. You do have a career high in blocks so far, by the way. 1.2 is your career high. and block. So contributing in other ways as well on the defensive end. So with all that said, and we talked about being a contender, we've talked about how successful your team has been so far. I got to imagine it's championship. I mean, you have championship aspirations. I don't want to say championship or bust, but can you kind of speak to the aspirations that you guys do have and how you view yourselves as legitimately, you know, winning a championship this season?
Honestly, it's not necessarily something we talked about. Our main focus right now is really just on, you know, building, you know, this team and building the chemistry. And, you know, we understand we have a long way to go to get to, you know, talk about championship and all that. We know the teams around the league that, you know, have been together for a long time and have gone through those, you know, playoff series and everything, experiences that you kind of have to go through. So right now we're just trying to, you know, build, you know, identity, you know, build, you know, good habits, make sure we do what we need to do so that come playoff time, you know, we're ready to go. And I think that's really been our mindset. Just take it day by day, game by game, just continue to work, continue to improve. And then we'll see when we get there. Obviously, we know that we have a team, good team that has a chance to become very good. But we don't feel like we're there yet. We know, obviously, our record is good and we're playing well, but we know we have a long way to go yet to be able to talk about that. And we understand it. I think that's also one of our qualities, and that we don't get ahead of ourselves. You know, we stay humble, we stay hungry, we continue to work. And then, hopefully, you know, we'll be able to get there. But you know, only can be done if we put in the right work.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I was also going to ask if you had to give an identity to the team as of right now in terms of the composition and how you view your identity when you step on the court, what would that be as a team?
I mean, like I said, you know, unselfish team, you know, fast-paced team. You know, I think for the most part of defense, you know, has been very good as well this year. Now we understand that, you know, we can score, we have ways to score, but we also understand that for us to have a chance to win big, our defense has to be, you know, top 6-7 in the NBA. And that's been our main thing that we've been trying to work on to become that, you know, very good, tough defensive team that, you know, can get stops and, you know, can do that consistently. Because we believe that, you know, with the offensive, you know, weapons we have and offensive skill, we're able to do that. So, I mean, I don't know if I find one word to kind of do identity, but to be a great team, you have to do a lot of different things really well. So, a little bit of everything.
And it's a process, like you said. I mean, you guys are playing together for the first time ever. People can't have that high of expectations of you just because you got talent. I mean, you look at a team like the Lakers, they have a bunch of champions on that team and they can't figure it out. And it takes time. And I'm not writing them off either because they do have champions and LeBron's playing at such a high level. But with that said, I mean, I want to know, was that DeMar USC connection? Was there anything with that beforehand? Or do you guys talk about that or relate to that at all? Or is that really nothing to you guys?
Go Trojans, by the way. I went to law school at USC.
Okay, go Trojans. There you go. No, we talk about it a lot. I mean, you know, we're both there, you know, as freshmen. You know, obviously, DeMar came, you know, as you know, a big time player and a big time recruit. You know, I was late recruit guy that they're able to get. And I didn't really, you know, my freshman year, I played like, you know, 10 minutes a game and played, you know, here and there. And then as the year went on, I got better. But we talk about it. I mean, you know, obviously, that year was fun for us. We went to tournament. We lost in second round. We won the Pac-10 tournament together, you know, so it's, you know, a lot of good memories. And I mean, throughout, you know, our NBA careers, we're always, you know, we're talking and you know, catching up and whenever we played each other. And so it was always fun. And it's special that, you know, we're able to play together again after all these years and to see how, you know, what we've done so far in our careers and how we're able to improve all these years as players. You know, DeMar is obviously a much better player than he was at USC. I'm a much better player than I was when I was there. So it's great when you see that, you know, and you be able to, you know, share that now with somebody, you know, you consider a friend on the same team and have the success we're having together. So it's been fun. And I think it's just over the years, you know, whenever we play, you know, we're joking about, hey, you know, let's try to play together and all that. And obviously it was never, you know, really realistic. But once the opportunity came that, you know, there is a chance that it could happen with him coming to the Bulls, we talked about it, and you know, he made the choice to join us. And so it worked out in the end.
There was a lot of whispering at the All-Star game and Summers in USC.
No, actually, I never, in the summer, I don't go back much, actually. Yeah. That was just more when we played against each other, like in games, you know. We never really were All-Stars together either, because when I became All-Star, I think he was already in San Antonio.
Gotcha.
No, we just, you know, if like, we play Orlando against Toronto or something, and we just kind of joke around. It was really just, you know, nothing too serious. It was just joking, but, you know, it ended up working out.
Do you guys discuss Evan Mobley at all? I think that guy's the next great big man coming. He's, you could call him a wing even. That guy's so versatile, and I think he's got a top 10 ceiling. I think he's that good. Yeah, any thoughts on him?
I mean, we talk about, like, you know, players from USC in general that, you know, that are in the league now and stuff like that, and at USC, how they're doing. But yeah, Evan, I mean, he's been playing great, I think, for Cleveland. Having a good season. You know, unfortunately, he had to sit out because of COVID last 2 weeks or so, but he's been playing great. I think, you know, he's been a huge part of Cleveland's success as well, but he definitely has talent. Obviously, he has size, he has skill, he can score in many different ways, and he's only going to get better, you know, as he gets older. But yeah, I mean, impressive that he's able to do that already as a rookie.
Hey, USC pumps him out, baby. Kevin Porter Jr. as well on my Rockets. So, Nicole, I wanted to ask you, man, if I'm not mistaken, I think your father was a professional basketball player for what, 20 plus seasons? 24 years. How did that kind of impact you, your upbringing? Like, have you been hooping since diapers? Like, you know, how does that kind of impact you and your skill over the years?
And pretty much. I mean, I was kind of wanted to be like him. And at a young age, you know, I started, you know, just, you know, obviously playing for fun at home and doing what he does and watching his games, his practices. You know, I'd go in his closet and like wear his jerseys, his gear, and around the house and do all that. And so I always wanted to be like him. And that was just kind of something I wanted to do. And I think at a certain age, he saw that I had talent and that, you know, it's something that I could, you know, pursue as a career. And so just, you know, he decided to coach me when I was 12. From 12 to 16, he was the coach of my team. And, you know, just, you know, was there for me. And even to this day, I mean, we always talk about it. We, you know, he watches my games when he can, and we discuss things that he sees that I could do better. Obviously, he knows me the best. I'm his son. He saw me, you know, grow up as a basketball player, you know, as a person, everything. So he knows how to get to me. And so I think it's been a blessing for me to have him and to be able, you know, to have him guide me throughout my career and to, you know, a huge part of, you know, the reason I am here today. And so obviously it's rare for players to have a father that can really help them like that. And he's been able to do that for me. And so it's been huge. But it all started, you know, with me, you know, just watching him and wanting to be like.
So can you elaborate a little bit, or maybe speak a little bit about how crazy it must have been coming overseas? I think your senior year, right? You came to California, playing what, Simi Valley, a little suburb.
We were prep school, so we kind of played everywhere. You know, but yeah, it was just, I was 16. I had just turned. I was going to turn 17 in October, and yeah, I just came to.
Were you by yourself?
So he came with me for about a week to get me settled and make sure everything was, you know, fine and all that. And then he left, and it was just me. And then it wasn't easy because back then, I mean, it wasn't like today where you have, you know, internet everywhere, your phone. Like, that's when, like, the T-Mobile Sidekicks had just come out, like BlackBerry. It wasn't like right now. You have your iPhone, you FaceTime whoever, wherever you want, you know, at any time. And, like, you didn't have, like, that, like, you have here now, like, you have, you know, everywhere. You know, it wasn't that easy. And then even Wi-Fi was starting, you had internet, but it wasn't as developed. And I think
you probably still had to get like cards and stuff to call back home, right?
Yeah. I had, that's what I was doing. I was getting cards to call overseas. You know, you had X amount of minutes. I think at that time you had MSN Messenger to talk to people. Yeah. Skype was just starting. And so it wasn't as easy. So that thing that was made it harder. It's just, and then nowadays, you know, you can get info about anything anywhere easy. Back then it wasn't as easy. So just, I mean, a lot of kids did it that time. So it wasn't easy for sure. I mean, it was a huge change. I mean, huge culture shock for me. I mean, I understood English. I didn't really speak it as well. So it was just, you know, big change for me, but I think that it's helped me a lot, you know, mature, you know, quickly. I just had to figure it out and I had to mature as I went on, and it's really helped me. I think now I realize it, you know, more than ever, how that's helped me being able to adapt, being able to adjust to a new situation, to change, figure things out if things are not going my way. And so, and it's also, I mean, basketball wise, it's helped me tremendously, you know, just especially with, you know, my body, how to, that part, just, you know, becoming, you know, physically who I am today, it's really helped me a lot, you know, especially speed of the game and everything. So, it was tough at first for sure, but it was, you know, great experience for me. You know, people there were great as soon as wherever I went, and it was a fun year for me. And I ended up, you know, getting recruited by USC, and so then everything worked out in the end.
That's a crazy growth experience. It has to be, right? Just kind of dumping your own overseas in a new country and just get to work. So obviously in retrospect, like you're saying, like you probably look back and think, wow, like that experience shaped me in a way that, you know, 99% of the world never gets to even see. And it was funny. I called a friend in Canada the other day. And we talk on the internet. We don't really talk on the phone. And I asked him, I said, you know, can you take a call? And then I thought about it and I was like, am I supposed to call him? I'm going to hit some like crazy charges or minutes. And then I thought for a second, like I felt like a boomer. I was like, I just got a FaceTime audio. It's
WhatsApp. When you know, get in a situation where it's like, you just have to figure it out. I think it's also, not necessarily like survival mode, you know, it's a little extreme, but you know what I'm trying to explain? Like, you
just phrase I learned in college, make it happen. No matter what happens, just make it happen. Yeah.
And it's like on like basic things like doing laundry. I never did laundry before I got there. And then I just figured out, like, you know, then like making your own food or like, and then eventually like you get to like pay your own like bills and things like this little by little. And it's all little things, but they add up because you just have to figure it out. And I think also it builds your confidence and, you know, it makes you just grow as a person. And, you know, at that age, you don't realize it because you're young and you just don't know that much. But as you get older, you go back and you're like, okay, like that's really helped me. And now I can relate to a lot of younger, you know, people that I see that, you know, are going through it or now you can kind of tell the difference, you know, if you kind of had it pretty easy sometimes, you know, certain things you don't figure out that early because you just didn't have to. And so there's no like good or bad way. It's just like, I think for me that worked out, you know, because I think I needed that at that point in my life to kind of get away and be on my own and figure it out and kind of fight for things.
Yeah.
And as, you know, for some people, maybe it's not the right path, but for me it was, and it worked out great. And I'm happy I did that.
My man. So speaking of your father, all these 10-day contracts being thrown around, just crazy contracts. Your dad played it till like 45, I think. Do you guys ever joke around with him or your brother-in-law, Sasha, about trying to get back in? Give me a 10-day. Come on, Vooch. Help me out.
I think my dad, if it wasn't for, you know, his knee was starting to, you know, really bother him and give up, I think he still had the love of the game and still had the love, like the competition in him and wanted to keep playing. But I just think, you know, his knee, you said, it's over. It's been, you know, 24 years. Like, just, you've done plenty. So he stopped. But with Sasha, I mean, we talk about, you know, he a lot. I mean, he left the NBA to go back overseas. He felt like, you know, he maybe could have stayed a couple more years, but, you know, it's just the way it is. But yeah, now, I mean, with all the everything that's happening with COVID, I mean, maybe, you know, he could rethink his position.
That's legit. And you got, I think the only other two Montenegrins on your team, Javonte Green. I mean, he's got dual citizenship. Is that even? Yeah. And then, who is it? Marco Simonovic.
Yeah.
Do you guys bond over that at all? I mean, do you guys talk about playing on the national team together at all?
Oh, for sure. I mean, we kind of bond automatically, you know, and then, I mean, but also I think we bond as far as, you know, just we share a lot of same interests, you know, we have a lot of same visions, and he's 9 years younger than me. So, you know, I really feel, you know, old when I talk to him and try to help him out with stuff. And you know, I've been in the U.S. for 15, 16 years now. You know, I came here as a kid, you know, went to high school, college here, and I've been in the NBA for so long. So, you know, I know obviously how it works here and how it is. And so I've been trying to help him a lot with that as well. And then obviously the basketball part. But no, I mean, he's been great and a hard worker and doing a lot of great things. And but just trying to, you know, help him in any way I can. But I think it's been great for me to have someone from home, you know, I can speak my language with and, you know, joke around and have fun. And I think it's been great for him to have me here, who's been here for a long time, somebody he can, you know, look up to and help him out. So it's been fun for both of us. Unfortunately, he's out now because of COVID. But yeah, when we're around, it's fun for both of us to have him and hang out and joke around. And you know, it's somebody from home that's always home for you, and it's always, you know, special to have that.
It's awesome. So Vooch, we really appreciate your time. We're gonna wind down and just ask you a couple questions about off the court, mm-hmm. and then we'll go ahead and get you out of here. By the way, before I forget, I wanna let you know. A lot of times people would joke about who's got the best hair in the NBA, like Jalen Rose, DJ Augustine. For the white boys or the white complexion boys, you have one of the crispiest hairlines. So
I appreciate that. Shout out to my barber. I don't do it myself, so shout out to my barbers. That
the
guy in Orlando, Joel, and then guy in Chicago, Mike. They've been doing a great job. I haven't been the hairline thing. It's been you know, in Europe, it's not as common. It's becoming, but it was more a thing here, and so I was against it for a while. I didn't want to do it, and then I was just like, all right, let's try it one time. And then the guy in Orlando did it, and I liked how I looked, and I was like, okay. And then so.
Yeah, shout out Mike.
I really appreciate that. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Hey, Trent said, I see it. It's crispy on the edge, baby. So off the court, man, what do you do for fun? Like right now it's a Thursday night. You just touched down, and thank you for taking the time to talk to us. But like, how are you going to handle, you know, what are you going to do on this Thursday night in beautiful Indiana before y'all play the Pacers tomorrow?
Actually we have a team thing set up to go watch Spider-Man. I already seen it, actually, but I might go again because it was a great movie and a big Marvel fan. So I might go again. Other than that, I mean, that's it. You know, we're just kind of, you know, relax. You know, I have, when I'm at home, you know, my family, you know, my wife and two kids, and you know, one is 3-year-old and 1-year-old. So you don't get much, you know, me time. So when I go on the road, I usually try to, you know, take advantage of that. I usually, you know, try to do like, you know, catch up on, try to have emails or things to do and things like that, meetings that I'll try to do on the road. So it doesn't take away from my family time at home. But I'll just, you know, relax, you know, read something, watch a movie, watch a show. I mean, depends. I love going to, like, I love going out to dinners and stuff. Now it's a little trickier because of the whole COVID surge thing, so you're trying to be a little careful. But usually, I'll try to meet up with some of my teammates, go out, grab some food.
You know, are you a wine guy? Do you wind down with a little glass of wine?
I love wine. Yeah, I'm a big wine guy. I like doing that as well. We have a couple of those guys on the team as well. So yeah, I mean, just trying to figure. It depends on the city, you know. Some, if you're in a bigger city, you know, you go out, you know, do different things. Not out of like clubbing, but like you go shopping, walk around, you know, different restaurants, things like that. So it all depends on the, and in some cities now over the years, I've met people, I have friends. So it just depends, and it's just kind of on the city.
Chicago, have you got out in the city much and ate much food there? I mean, what is the best food you've had in Chicago so far?
The best food, I'd say these ribs. I'm a huge ribs guy, and it's called Gale Street Inn. I actually knew about it before I came to the Bulls from one of the strength coaches that was at Orlando. He's from Chicago originally. He took us there, actually, my first year with Orlando, actually. That's the only year he was there with us. He took me there, and they're amazing ribs. I mean, I've had them in a lot of different places. Those are the best I've ever had. So that's the best, you know, food in Chicago that I've had. Love There's it. So many food options in Chicago. I mean, great, you know, great restaurants, you know, great steakhouse. I'm a huge steak guy, so great steakhouse is there.
Are you a Chicago pizza guy?
So, you know, I'm not huge on the deep dish pizza. I've had it. It's good, you know, but it's not my favorite.
Me neither.
If the Bulls fans boo you at the next one for this comment, I apologize in advance. I'm sorry.
No, actually, so one time, there is this one. I wanted to try some, like, you know, deep dish pizza. And so I tweeted, like, hey, what's the best Chicago, you know, and I had like a...
They said Giordano's.
No, I thought I was going to have like 20 responses, you know, just for whatever fun. I think the Bulls retweeted it, and it was like this huge thing. Like, I had like 1,000 people respond to me, like, what pizza to get. And so what I did, I went through like maybe 100 responses, and I like was, you know, if I saw a name pop up a couple of times, I just, you know, added in into whichever name had the most. I chose that spot, but yeah, I mean, I've had the pizza. I've had a couple of different of the deep dish pizzas. I mean, they're good. It's just, I grew up on like different pizzas. So I know you kind of stick to that, but it's good. It's not, you know, some people don't like it. I like it. Actually, it's good. It's just, I prefer like thin crust, regular crust pizza.
I'm right there with you, man.
For I haven't had the hot dogs yet in Chicago. I heard those are good too. So I have to try that.
Do that. Go to a baseball game.
But I mean, there's so many. It's so like you, for example, like you go on DoorDash or any of those eating apps, and like to pick a food like spot, it's impossible. There's so many of them in Chicago. It's crazy. I think like if I had to say like in the U.S., probably New York has the most restaurants, then probably Chicago after that.
Because are you living in the city?
I live like right north of the city, just like, so it's not like downtown, but it's like still close, like 5-10 minutes away.
Very good. So last question we ask everybody, we'll wrap up with this. I mean, let's say you're going out getting those ribs. You can invite anybody dead or alive. You get three people to invite to dinner with you. They can be anybody that's ever walked this planet.
Anybody? I think it'd definitely be Michael Jordan would be one of them. I'd like to have dinner with him.
Love it.
Pick his brain a little bit. Let's see who else. Probably say maybe Jeff Bezos, see how he came up with the whole Amazon idea and how he keeps doing what he does. Hey, more Elon Musk, one of those two. I mean, obviously two, you know, pretty brilliant minds that, you know, have kind of changed the world, you know, for everybody. And then third, I think right on top of my head, who I would invite.
Rihanna. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, he's got a beautiful woman.
I'm just kidding. Sorry, Mrs.
Vooch. Now I'm trying to think.
Sorry, Mrs. Vooch.
Let me see who would be the third person I would invite.
He's thinking hard. This is audio, so y'all can't see. But he's
I'm having a lot of like... sports people that I'm a big fan of, that I was a big fan of growing up. And I mean, I could do that. It's just, I was trying to have a little, you know,
I like the diversity.
Yeah, no, we appreciate the thought. It's always interesting. The interest is always varied. It's crazy.
More diverse dinner, you know, where we have different, you know, minds saying different things, you know, MJ, obviously, you know, he could do basketball and business, and you have, you know, the business mind. And then third person would be
football player, maybe.
No, I'm gonna go with an actor, and then
there we go.
The actor or actress, and then say, see who I really like as an actor. Any help? Robert Downey Jr. Huge. Tony Stark. Okay. Iron Man.
Oh yeah, you said you're a Marvel guy. There you go. Okay,
yeah, I'm a huge Iron Man fan, so Tony Stark. So that'd be perfect there.
So Mike Jordan, Jeff Bezos, Robert Downey Jr. That's amazing. And then we said that was the last question. We lied. I forgot to ask this. I know you were born in Switzerland, and from what I can tell, I think you bounced around because of your father's basketball career. But I was going to ask, given the area you're from originally, were there any players you looked up to growing up from you know, like Draz or Vladi or anything like that?
So growing up, I was he never came to the NBA, but you guys probably know him, Dejan Bodiroga. He played for Panathinaikos, Barcelona.
Okay. I don't know the name. No. How do you say that in like English?
One more time.
So it's Dejan, D-E-J-A-N, and then B-O-D-I-R-O-G-A.
Okay.
O-D-I-R-O-G-A. Bodiroga?
Bodiroga.
Bodiroga. Okay.
So he was the best player in Europe, and you know, he won EuroLeague a couple of times. He won like gold medals with the, back then it was Yugoslavia national team. They actually won, well, in Indianapolis, 2002, they won the World Cup. They beat the U.S. in the quarterfinals, I think.
Wow.
In the U.S. side, you know, good team. Reggie Miller was on there. Paul Pierce was on there. I think Andre Miller was there. I don't remember who. I think it might have been Jermaine O'Neal, if I'm not mistaken, or something. It was a good, you know, U.S. team, and we beat them, Yugoslavia. And you know, Peja was playing that team. Diva was playing that team as well. Marko Jaric, he was. But yeah, Bojan, he was. Alongside like MJ, and then later like, you know, when Dirk came on, and I was a huge LeBron fan. He was like the guy to me. Like I was obsessed with him, and I actually have his jersey from one of the European Championship '99 in France that they played. He gave it to my uncle, who gave it to me later, and then a huge fan of him. Like he was
love it.
Dejan Bodiroga.
Yeah. So I think if you YouTube it, I think one of the first videos that might come up is him crossing Melo over. And
I'm looking that up.
In 2005, it was an exhibition game in Serbia. They played in Belgrade, and he actually had a really nice move on him. One of his like very popular move that he did. But yeah,
that went crazy viral back in Yugoslavia.
It's still like since it is there, like they'll still like show it. But yeah, I was a huge fan of his, and so I actually got to meet him a couple years ago, and that was exciting for me. So yeah,
very cool. What about Arturis? Did you have a relationship with him beforehand?
So Arturis, the first time I met him, actually when I did my workout for the Rockets as a like pre-draft, he took me to dinner and kind of like, you know, interviewed me or whatnot, whatever they call it, and we spoke and things like that. So that was the first time I met him, and then I've seen him like over the years.
So he screwed up back then.
No, he actually liked me. The Rockets liked me, but I think they chose somebody else or something. I don't know. But he was, and then I've seen him a couple of times, like throughout the NBA. So we had like just kind of a relationship of knowing him. But I think, you know, Euros always have a certain type of connection, you know, when you come here.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, that all makes sense. And I know, I am from Iran. My parents are from Iran. And I know anytime, like, you know, that one play, like you said, anything that happens, that it like lives on in a legendary fashion for that country, you know? So I get where you're coming from with that. But look, man, we really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you so much. I had a blast talking to you. Ton of respect for you. Big Vooch. So thank you so much, man. We hope to get to do it again. And we'll be rooting for the Bulls. I personally think the NBA is more fun when the Bulls are good. I mean, we're just about the same age. So when I came up, it was all Chicago. So it's really cool to see the Bulls kind of be, you know, close to back on top. So much respect to you. Best of luck. And we hope to get to do it again.